This morning on Wake Up with Hope, we are talking about reducing the risk of heart disease with our friends from the Loma Linda Blue Zone, one of the healthiest places on the planet.
Plus, we will have music from the Neblett family and much more. Stay with us.
Good morning and happy Wednesday. We are officially 1 week away from winter.
Wow. How did we get here so quick?
I know. And even though it's already pretty cold here in Maryland, what's the weather like in your part of the world? I know in Argentina, where I'm from, it's summertime.
Yes, it is.
It's summertime. Is it already feeling like winter where you're living? Let us know.
You know, even though winter is cold and sometimes blustery, I grew up in Michigan, so I know about that.
Mm-hmm.
It's still a wonderful season. The falling snow reminds us of how much God showers us with blessings. While the twinkles of the snow shimmering under the sun, it's so beautiful. They're a beautiful reminder that when we are shining under the sun, the S-O-N, we too can shimmer and shine in this world.
You know, this morning we want to fill you with hope. The hope that you can have in Jesus. And we want to remind you of His many blessings and great faithfulness. That's why we'll have music from the Neblett family as they sing their beautiful rendition of My Redeemer is Faithful and True. But that's coming up later. Right now, let's take a look back at what happened on this day in history.
It was only 10 short years ago when on December 14, 2012, at Sandy Hook Elementary School in Newtown, Connecticut, Adam Lanza killed 20 first graders and 6 school employees before turning a gun on himself. Earlier that day, he killed his mother at the home they shared. At the time, the Sandy Hook shooting was the second deadliest mass shooting in the United States after the 2007 shooting at Virginia Tech, in which a gunman killed 32 students and teachers before committing suicide.
You know, many of us remember this tragic event. It was and still continues to be absolutely horrific to even think about. And the tragedy reminds us that, unfortunately, it was not the last mass shooting. In fact, mass shootings in the United States has nearly tripled since the Sandy Hook shooting and continue to be on the rise. You know, friends, the world can often seem like a scary place. You know, we got mass shootings, natural disasters, pandemics, diseases, anger, and so much violence and hate. What can we do? Is there any hope left? Indeed, there is. God still reigns on His throne. He is still alive. And friends, He is still in control. Though it pains Him, nothing has caught Him off guard or by surprise. We can still place our hope for the future and the present in His hands. We can still trust Him to carry us through the life's ups and downs. He will never leave us nor forsake us. And as the world crumbles around us, friends, He draws us in ever closer, ever closer. Stay near, friends. Stay near to Jesus.
Amen. What if eating fatty foods was the key to reducing your risk of heart disease? Well, our healthy friends from Loma Linda have more to share.
What comes to mind when you think of the Mediterranean? Perhaps a pristine Italian coastline, or a dream vacation destination. Or how about food? The Mediterranean diet has many health benefits that can lower our risk for heart disease.
It's a sobering reality that one in every 4 deaths in America is a result of heart disease. One of the main risk factors is having high cholesterol. Cholesterol is a waxy, fat-like substance, and when your body makes too much of it, it can build up on the walls of your arteries. This buildup restricts the amount of blood and oxygen carried throughout your body and can result in a stroke, heart attack, or other forms of heart disease.
Eating a traditional Mediterranean diet lowers our risk for heart disease.
The traditional Mediterranean diet is legumes and vegetables, whole grains, fruits, nuts, olive oil instead of butter and other types of fat, small amounts of dairy products, and small amounts of meat.
The Mediterranean diet has many health benefits because it contains high amounts of antioxidants, protein, and omega-3s.
But you should shift from avoiding fats entirely to adding healthy fats into your diet that fight bad cholesterol.
To get the good unsaturated fats, substitute olive oil, nuts, and seeds, as well as avocados, into your diet. You can use olive oil for salad dressings, stir fry, make desserts, or replace butter by dipping your bread in olive oil.
The fats in olive oil are mostly monounsaturated, which help lower cholesterol.
The second tip is eat more legumes like beans, lentils, and garbanzos. A traditional Mediterranean food like hummus is made from garbanzo beans and oil from whole sesame seeds. Try adding hummus to your next sandwich or use it as a dip for pita bread, carrot sticks, and other vegetables.
The third tip is to eat more nuts and seeds like almonds and walnuts. One thing you can try is instead of having a candy dish on the table, fill it with almonds. This way, as you and your family members walk by, you'll pick up a quick and healthy snack. There's your tip for the day on how you can live healthier longer.
Neil Schofield takes us on an artistic adventure as he helps us discover the amazing image of God and his character.
In the Dresden Museum hangs a Rembrandt with the title Prodigal Son in the Tavern. This painting shows Rembrandt having a wow of a time. His paintings were bringing in bucket loads of cash. He was on top of the world. But then his life was turned upside down. Through a series of tragic circumstances, he lost his family and all his money. So what did he do? He recognized the futility of what this life can offer, and Rembrandt turned to God. As he understood God's love and compassion for him, Rembrandt painted another prodigal son painting. The Return of the Prodigal Son now hangs in the Hermitage Museum in St. Petersburg. We see facing us an old, nearly blind father. He's hunched over his son. The son's on his knees. His head is slightly to the side and it's resting on his father's chest. Rembrandt shows the contrast between the well-dressed father with his flowing red cape and the tattered clothes and worn sandals of the now bald son. That son is Rembrandt.
Come
home. You'll notice the father gently placing his hands on the shoulders of his son. In a beautiful perspective of God's love, Rembrandt has painted one hand masculine and strong. The other is gentle and feminine. Why? Because when we combine a father's love with that of a mother, this gives us just a small insight into the all-encompassing love of our wonderful God. There are two key messages I take from this painting. Firstly, you might be the finest artist in the world, but without Jesus, your world can come crashing down. You've got nothing. Secondly, we have a God who loves us and accepts us back no matter what. I don't need to wait until I'm good. He wants me to come back now. Now that's a God of love.
Come home. Come home. If you're enjoying today's program, we believe you have a friend who would enjoy it as well. So visit our website at hopetv.org/wakeup to see more and share it with them too. Also, check out our Facebook page. You'll find wonderful things there as well.
When we return, we'll have music from the Neblett family. Job chapter 19, verse 25 says, "As for me, I know that my Redeemer lives, and He will stand upon the earth at the last."
You know, we serve a faithful Redeemer, and we can trust in His promises. The Neblett family reminds us of this beautifully profound thought through their rendition of the traditional, "My Redeemer is faithful and true."
As I look back on this road I've traveled, I see so many times He carried me through. If there's one thing that I've learned in my life, it's my Redeemer is faithful and true. My Redeemer is faithful and true. Everything He has said, He will do. And every morning His mercies are new. My Redeemer is faithful and true.
Rejoices when I read the promise. There is a place that I'm preparing for you. I know someday I'll see my Lord face to face, 'cause my Redeemer is faithful and true.
Redeemer is faithful and true. And in every situation He has proved His love for me. When I lack the understanding, more grace He gives to me. My Redeemer is faithful. My Redeemer, my Redeemer is faithful and true.
Amen. What an inspiring song. You know, if you're enjoying today's program, be sure to share it with your friends. They can visit our website at hopetv.org/wakeup. We'll be right back with today's devotional thought by Pastor John Bradshaw from It Is Written.
Welcome back to Wake Up with Hope.
John Bradshaw from It Is Written is with us today to share a devotional thought.
Great to see you. I hope your day is off to a great start, and I'm encouraged that we have a chance to consider something from the Bible together. My hope is that this will be of practical benefit to you today. Maybe today you can put some of these thoughts into practice and say, yeah, that went well. Now, let's wind the clock back, way back, 1956. Something happened in 1956. It Is Written was born in 1956. But that's not what I want to tell you about. In 1956, a judge in Jacksonville, Florida, threatened to throw Elvis Presley in jail if he didn't tone down his stage act. Elvis Presley was an absolute sensation, remembered today as the king. I mean, what a megastar he was. But way back then, people were scandalized by the way Elvis Presley would move his hips, the way he would dance when he was on stage. Now, as we talk about this together, that seems kind of quaint, doesn't it? The sort of thing we would chuckle about. Oh, really? Can you believe it? When you compare what Elvis Presley did on stage to what people do on stage today, sometimes televised, I'm talking about musicians, makes Elvis Presley then look a little bit like Julie Andrews cavorting on the hills around Salzburg, Austria in The Sound of Music. It seems so innocent almost, and so, oh, can you believe it? I'd like you to think with me for a moment. What was Elvis Presley doing? It was sexually suggestive and grossly inappropriate. Now, by today's standards, kind of tame, but by God's standards, it was wrong. And I don't know if that means that a judge has to threaten to lock up a musician whose movements fall foul of the judge's good judgment. I don't know about that. But I think it does mean that what Elvis Presley was doing way back in 1956 was inappropriate. But we get a little bit numbed towards sin, jaded by the world around us. We become accustomed to seeing sin everywhere. If you have a device, it's almost impossible to avoid some of the grossest stuff when you're online, because even commercials and some of those short videos that you have to endure before you watch content, it can be like, man, I don't need to see that. So it's everywhere. Sin. The danger is that we become so adjusted towards sin, we excuse it. Not just that we put up with it, but we tolerate it and maybe even become comfortable in its presence. Now, I don't know that you want to become a Pharisee and become judgmental and strident and critical and condemnatory. In fact, I do know that you don't want to become those things. But let's remember what the Bible says. It says in Romans 6 and verse 23 that the wages of sin is death. What you earn for sin or from sin is death. What results at the end of sin ultimately is death. Sin brought death into the world. Sin caused the death of Jesus. And Isaiah wrote in Isaiah 59 and verse 2 that sin separates from God. Now, does that mean that everybody ought to be a goody two-shoes? Well, no, but only for the reason that that's impossible. Sinful people are just that. They are sinful. They're broken. We're all sinful. You could try to be as good as you want, but you can't be, because only God is good. What you need to be is not good, but holy. And the only place you get holiness is from Jesus. You get righteousness from Jesus, you understand. So what do we do about sin? Oh, you don't want to rail against people. You want to understand them and be kind to them, even if they fall foul of what you think is right or wrong. But we must understand that sin is sin. That dirty joke might have been funny, but it was sin. And the truth of the matter is, the closer you get to Jesus, the less funny those things will be. That Hollywood movie that dealt with wholly inappropriate topics might have been entertaining, it might have won awards, it may have been extraordinarily well made, but it was still really inappropriate and therefore not right for the Christian to consume. We want to stay away from sin, not become so accustomed to sin that we hardly even notice it anymore. So how in the world do you do that? You've heard it said, I expect, that we are to be in the world, but not of the world. And that's what God would like for us to be. We have to live on this planet for as long as God extends life to us, but you don't have to be like the culture around you when that culture around you is destructive and godless. Now, does that make it seem like you're no fun? You know, I can't answer that question for you, but I think I would respond with this question: what difference would that make? I don't mind being the odd one out. I don't want to be the critical one, but I don't mind being the odd one out if I'm following Jesus. Daniel and his friends were taken captive and they were transported to Babylon, across that hot desert to Babylon in what today we would call southern Iraq. This was really interesting. They served food to Daniel and his friends, and they looked at that food and said, "We can't eat this. This is not appropriate for believers in the God of heaven to eat. We can't eat it." Now, they may have been killed for their stand, but they took a stand anyway. And when they took that stand, it worked out for the good, and God blessed them and he prospered them. In the very same book, Daniel was out of town, but his friends Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were very much at home. A great big golden image was constructed and set up out on a plain called the Plain of Dura. And the king said, "Bow down and worship that image. If you don't, you'll be put to death." Now, really, bowing down in the presence of an image because you're being told to, you could justify that. You could easily say, "Well, I'm just going to tie my shoelace down here and I'm not really bowing down to that image." You could say, "Oh, is that a fossil I see on the ground? Or is that a fascinating stone?" You could do all kinds of things to save your neck. But Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego did no such thing. In fact, when the king said, "I'm going to throw you into a burning fiery furnace," they said, "If that's what you got to do, do it. Our God, who we serve, is able to save us from out of your hand." And then they said, "But if not, we want you to know that we're still not going to worship that image." He didn't ask him to murder anybody. He didn't ask him to sell a sack full of drugs. He didn't ask them to watch objectionable content. He just said, "Just go through the motions of bowing down." And they could have done so, and while they were doing so, said to God, "Hey, listen, God, you know that I'm not worshiping this thing. I worship you, but I'm just doing what I got to do to save my life, because what good would I be dead?" Really, the question was, what do you do to honor God? You let God worry about the consequences, you see. So it's important to understand that sin is of consequence. It might seem small. Really, did he say Elvis Presley wiggling his hips was inappropriate? Oh, yeah, I'd say it again. Because it was and it is. What's happened over time is that we've adjusted to sin. We got used to it. It doesn't seem sinful, but it is. In fact, it's deadly. So we want to avoid that with Jesus in our heart, the Spirit of God in our lives. Let God keep you in his heart and on his path today. Great to see you. Have a good one today. God bless you.
Thank you so much, Pastor John, for encouraging us with those words this morning.
And thank you for watching Wake Up with Hope and spending your morning with us. We enjoyed our time together.
Don't forget to join us tomorrow. We'll be featuring an important health segment. Faith for Today will join us to share a devotional thought and an interesting talk on bad religion. If you enjoyed today's devotional thought and would like to learn more about the Bible, visit hope.study to receive your free Bible study guides. Again, that's hope.study. We are sure that those Bible study guides will be such a blessing in your life.
Amen. And we can't leave without sharing our daily
Bible promise.
Bible promise. Today's Bible promise comes from Isaiah chapter 26, verse 19.
It says, "But your dead will live, Lord. Their bodies will rise. Let those who dwell in the dust wake up and shout for joy. Your dew is like the dew of the morning. The earth will give birth to her dead." Wow.
You know, have you lost a loved one, family member, or maybe a friend? There is beautiful hope and promise for you. When Jesus comes again, all who have died believing in him will rise. They will rise never to die again.
Amen.
It's going to be a joyful time indeed. I can't wait for that day. How about you, friend?
Amen.
How about you?
Friends, we hope that as you think on those promises, that you have begun this day with a smile in your heart and the joy of gratitude on your face. May the Lord bless you abundantly.
Let's pray together. Dear Father in heaven, Lord, today there's many of us, no doubt, that have experienced loss. we have loved ones, friends, family who have passed away, and our hearts are still saddened, regardless of how much time has passed. But Lord, today we are reminded of the hope that burns within our hearts. Hope that one day you're going to burst through the clouds of heaven. One day, Lord, you're going to call the dead in Christ to come forth out of their graves. One day we will be together, united, never to part again. And we thank you, Lord, for filling our hearts today with this hope. Thank you, Lord, for taking us by the hand as we walk with you today. In Jesus' name, amen.